Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
It's Friday. Glad that you're with us here on the Super Talk Eagle Hour on the Super Talk Mississippi Network of Stations or online from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. I'm Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon. Producer engineer Michael Mergens is here as well. Patrick McGee from the Times-Picayune will be joining us here in just a moment to talk about New Orleans Saints football. They will head to the Carolina on Sunday. A winnable game, we think. So we're going to talk with him.
I think Carolina feels the same.
Yes. Somebody's going to win this game. Of course, the way both seasons have gone for those teams, it might end up in a tie. But later on in the show, a roundtable discussion with Southern Miss fans from across the board, age groups, genders, you know, whatever, to talk about what qualities they would like to see in the new head football coach at Southern Miss. Derek Gwynn will be joining us a little bit later on. So will Destiny Blackwell from Goche. So it's going to be a great discussion about what everybody's been talking about, the head coaching search at Southern Miss. The first segment of the program today is always brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit as we shift gears from football to the holiday season. Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, there'll be get-togethers of various sizes, so why not let Dickey's handle your catering, small groups or large.
And it's election night in America in a couple of days, so you can tailgate your election night watch party if you're doing so, Kelly.
It'll be huge.
It will be.
Yeah.
So a couple days from election night.
And I think all Americans will be glad when it's over.
Yes.
One way or the other. Patrick McGee, somebody else that might be glad when the season is over is the season ticket holders for the New Orleans Saints. But to be fair, they have been riddled with injuries, an offense that is really they're struggling to score points, touchdowns, whatever. As we welcome you from New Orleans, they head to Carolina this weekend. Give us a brief overview as to what's going on with the Saints.
Well, I mean, they're just a bad football team. That's the best way to sum it up. The way I look at it is, you know, they had, you know, first two games of the season looked good, playing well, but they were not a deep team. And whenever those injuries began to happen, especially along the offensive line, and it just seemed to spread to pretty much every area of the team, it just led to basically what we're seeing as a collapse now. This is a team that's just not been able to compete. Now, there's a good chance Derek Carr's back behind center on Sunday against Carolina, and that gives the Saints a significantly better chance of winning than, say, Spencer Rattler. But no, there's this, like you said, it's a winnable game, but it is for both teams. I see it as kind of a toss, to be honest, when you compare the way the two teams have been playing here in recent weeks. The Saints right now look like the worst team in the NFL. I wouldn't put that label on Carolina at the moment. The Saints just haven't had enough pieces out there, and they were a little bit healthier for the game against the Chargers on the road, but in the end, they really had no shot. They just couldn't move the ball enough on offense behind Rattler. And they put in Haener late at quarterback, and the results were a little bit better, but still don't get into the end zone. So right now, the Saints are in a rough spot.
Most NFL fans are so quick to pull the lever on coaching changes and so on, but I have said it really isn't fair, one way or the other, to Dennis Allen to make a decision solely based on this team's record when everybody else might be bringing Sherman tanks to the war and he's got trash can lids and spears at this point with all the injuries. So what do you make of that situation? What do you foresee happening?
Well, I mean, I think this this season is troubling from that aspect. I mean, the Saints have battled injuries really throughout Allen's tenure. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. But even whenever the Saints have been, say, banged up on defense or offense, they still went out there and competed. The last, 5 to 6 weeks, the Saints haven't competed, especially the last, like 3 weeks. So that's, things are definitely headed south. An injury situation probably is a little bit worse this year compared to the last couple of seasons. But, the cumulative effect of all these injuries shouldn't make the team as bad as they are now. I think it's a sign of the poor job that Mickey Loomis and company have done in building a roster that has the depth you need to compete in the NFL. They're not even close, especially, in areas on the offensive line, at receiver. They just don't have anybody that they can just plug in and think, well, maybe he can give us, 80-90% what the other guy's getting. They're getting like 30-40%. It's really bad. So this roster just was not built to endure an entire season, and that's what we're seeing right now.
You know, the last time these two teams played, the Saints destroyed the Panthers, right. And now, 10 weeks later or whatever it is, I don't know if it's 10 weeks, what are we going, 8 or 9? It's a toss-up, and that just really shows how much the season has changed for the Saints, and even if you insert Derek Carr, like you're saying, you still think it's going to be hard for them to move the ball, yes?
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line just, they had Cesar Ruiz and Lucas Patrick back, back at the two guard positions, and, the results weren't. Now, the Chargers do have a very good defense, so we have to take that in the stock. But, Kamara's playing really banged up, broken ribs, broken hand. Taysom Hill's out there trying to go with broken ribs. I think we'll see a better offense on Sunday with Derek Carr behind center as expected. But I don't know if it'll be enough. I think, this is a game they have a chance of winning, but it's kind of hard to have a whole lot of confidence in the direction of the team.
How much, coming into the season, you told us that Dennis Allen was on the hot seat, is one of the hottest seats in the NFL. After the season, the Saints, GM in the Saints office is kind of in a tough spot because he was on the hot seat coming into the season. You take those two games at the beginning of the season when everybody was quote unquote healthy, and then the rest of the season when everybody's not healthy, they're going to have a pretty tough decision on their hands.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Gail Benson's going to have a tough decision on her hands. We're talking about, Mickey Loomis all the way to the top. I mean, it doesn't feel like things are in a good place right now. If the Saints lose, in a poor performance against the Panthers on Sunday, that's going to raise a whole lot of red flags. And at some point, you got to make a decision. The Saints have been reluctant over the years to make any decisions regarding a coach middle of the year. But the season is kind of unrecoverable at that point when you're 2-7. So it's kind of, you hear Mickey Loomis and Dennis Allen, oh, we don't really pay attention to the outside, the noise, this and that. I'm like, well, they better start listening to somebody on the outside because right now the inner voice ain't working for them. So, there's decisions that have to be made, and it goes beyond Allen. I think it goes really throughout the franchise.
Well, Patrick, as Southern Miss fans, we know nothing about unrecoverable football seasons. I go on record as saying that, but the losing streak for the Saints now is getting to be nearly historic, right? Prior to the Mora years, this is uncharted waters for the New Orleans franchise for quite a while.
Yeah, I think it's the first 6-game losing streak since 2005 when that team had to deal with everything that came with Katrina. This is really getting ugly. They didn't really have a shot in any of the last 3 or 4 games. The defense did play a little bit better against the Chargers. That's the only really kind of positive you can take out of it, but they were on the field a lot and they got wore down late, this and that. So, yeah, if this goes to 7 with a loss to the team that many assume is the worst team in the NFL, I just don't think the Saints fans are going to be willing to tolerate going forward. You're going to see a lot of empty seats in the dome.
And as good as the defense is, Dima, you can't beat anybody if you don't score.
Right. Southern Miss fans know that more than anybody. But I'm curious, let's just say hypothetically that they do fire Allen. You'd think that after that they would clear house on pretty much all the rest of this coaching staff as well.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I looking around, I mean, if they want somebody to kind of come in and, you know, a Sean Payton type character, somebody that can kind of, you know, typically in the NFL or a lot of times in college, you know, a defensive coach who's fired is often followed by an offensive coach. And if that trend continues, why wouldn't the Todd Monken be near the top of the list? So that's certainly something I've been thinking about recently. He's got that kind of personality, a strong personality to come in, take charge, and everybody's going to know who's calling the shots. So that's something I'm, you know, that I'm sure Monken's not going to name is going to come pretty quick if or when that Dennis Allen is fired.
Well, season ticket sales in South Mississippi anyway would go up if right. Todd Monken was named the head coach. Well, the Saints and Panthers this coming Sunday. Maybe the Saints can stop this losing streak and get back on the winning track. Patrick McGee from New Orleans, we appreciate your input and insight as always, buddy. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Patrick McGee joins us every Friday on the program. A reminder that Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. Visit their all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. When the Eagle Hour continues, a roundtable discussion from a bunch of different people. We all love Southern Miss, but we all have different opinions maybe as to what qualities the new head football coach should have.
And you know what they say, enter Sandman.
That's a song, I think.
That's right.
Somebody could make a lot of money off of that title. And of course, Jeremy McClain, no doubt, will be listening with bated breath as to what our opinions
I'm sure
are
he will.
As to who the next head coach should be or the qualities that person should have. We'll break it down for you when Friday's Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart. That's Campus Bookmart with a T, not like a bookmark, but a bookmart. Well, I say that because a lot of people say, I tried to go to campusbookmark.net and nothing came up. No, because it's bookmarked. Anyway, it's the bright gold building right across from the main entrance on Hardy Street. Main entrance to the university, that is, and your one-stop shop for all things Southern Miss. Anything that has a Southern Miss that you can put a Southern Miss logo on, they've got it at Campus Bookmart and open 24/7 at campusbookmart.net. The thing that all Southern Miss fans seem to be talking about now, and everybody has the right answer, of course, is who the next head football coach should be. Jeremy McClain and the search committee will put together some names and, of course, eventually make that name known. He said he wants to have somebody in place by Thanksgiving so that when the portal opens, the new coach would be ready to roll. So we thought no better time on this Friday to get fans of various ages, various perspectives on what qualities they would like to see in the new head coach. Besides myself and Dima Mixon, who for the record is still a student at Southern Miss, will graduate in December, we hope. Are we on track for that, Dima? You got your payments up to date? Paying off your professors?
I paid enough for that sheet of paper, I believe me.
So he will graduate in December. Derek Gwynn is also joining us. D-Rock, as he's known, has written for Stadium Sports, 24/7 Sports, covering Southern Miss. He's probably the second graybeard in line behind me, of course. And then joining us on the phone is Destiny Blackwell, a native of Hattiesburg and a 2016 graduate of Southern Miss, now living in Goshen. And few fans are as passionate as Destiny has been about all things Southern Miss. And we welcome you, Destiny. Good to have you here. And I'm going to start with you, all right? One of the things that people always talked about, which is why I asked Jeremy McClain at the press conference, the need for the new coach to have ties to Southern Miss or not. What say you, Destiny? Let's start there.
Well, I'll say this. I am not anti Southern Miss ties. My stance on it, though, is if someone that we're considering for the job is not being considered or looked at by anyone else to be a head coach, their ties to Southern Miss should not elevate them in our candidate pool either. I just want the person that is going to do the best job, that's going to give people a reason to buy back in, to show up to games, to want to donate, because you see what we've done in baseball and basketball with success. We have fans itching to open their pocketbooks and show up and get excited, but they haven't had anything to be excited about in, you know, you mentioned me graduating in 2016. I'd say in the 12 years since I started at USM in 2012, I've had one or two seasons to be really excited about. And it was during the time when we had a coach that did not have Southern Miss ties.
So it should not disqualify them, obviously. And Jeremy McClain said, it's on the list, but it's not at the top of his list. D-Rock, what say you?
I agree a lot with Destiny. I just want somebody here, whether they have Southern Miss ties or they don't have Southern Miss ties, somebody that's going to come in, rebuild the program, just what Destiny said, who wants to be here, who wants to be in Hattiesburg, who wants to be at Southern Miss, and make their own legend. So I don't think you have to have Southern Miss ties, but we definitely need to really research and not just look at a paper resume. We need to look at the full background on the coach.
Because one of the things you've talked about, D-Rock, in your articles and so on, is Will Hall, you agree with it. Will Hall checked all the boxes. It just didn't work, and we still don't know why it didn't.
Yeah, he was a great OC. He's a coach's son. He's a good recruiter. He had great numbers at Tulane, and just didn't work out here. Don't know why.
Dima, you're the youngest guy. Should the coach have Southern Miss ties ideally, or does it matter?
I mean, I really don't think it matters at the end of the day. I mean, when you look at a head coach, the reason Jeremy said it's at the bottom of the list is because they're looking for the guy who they think is going to be best suited to win at this university. It doesn't matter if he graduated here. It doesn't matter if he graduated in Grand Canyon University. If he comes here to win, all this talk will be done. There's no more, you know, who cares where he came from as long as he comes here and wins. That's what the fans are going to say. That's what the athletic department is going to say. Now, I don't... Being from Southern Miss or Hattiesburg area or Mississippi does not disqualify anybody from being the head coach. The idea, I think, behind this argument is that Southern Miss fans are so enthralled with the 2000s and the 1990s and the 1980s and the 2000s, whatever, when they beat Alabama, and they just don't want the head coach to come in here saying that we're going to beat Alabama next year, we're going to beat Georgia, because that's not the college football landscape we're in now. As much as Southern Miss fans don't want to hear it, that is the truth. So the reason this argument is prevalent is because, at least in my view, the next head coach should come into Southern Miss not saying he's going to be here for the next 20 years and building this as a dynasty, but if he sits in that interview office and he says, I see myself being the head coach at Ohio State, I see myself being the head coach at Penn State in 4 or 5 years, because he knows the success he's going to bring here is going to be good enough so he elevates to that next level.
Destiny Blackwell, credit where credit is due. You and some other younger alums were talking about Bob Chesney last year when he was the head coach at Holy Cross, and said Southern Miss, if they ever needed a coach, should go after somebody like Bob Chesney. Well, James Madison must have heard you, because they hired Bob Chesney, and he's having a great year at James Madison. So what about somebody just hypothetically coming here from Idaho or Montana or whatever that doesn't necessarily understand the way we do things in the South? Is that a big deal or not, Destiny?
I mean, I don't think it is. I mean, if we're talking hypotheticals, if we had somebody that came in that, say, had a really exciting offense at UNLV, I'd be really excited personally. And I don't think you have to know how we do things here, because I think sometimes that is honestly what cripples us. If we had somebody that came in with a fresh set of eyes that can actually point out different ways that we can be better, different ways to come in and shake things up and get people excited, we'd be better for it, because when you hire people that are, I guess, familiar to you, it leaves room for apathy, because it's harder to part ways with your friend. It's harder to hold your friend to a higher standard when they're not getting the job done on the field. And I think that's what we saw, but you know, the last 4 years, and I don't want to harp on any of that because it's done, but at the end of the day, I think that created a lot of apathy, because people did like our head coach as a person and knew his family, and his family knew you know, players across the state. But I think if somebody that comes in here and they have what it takes to win and they have an exciting offense or what have you, they are going to be able to recruit. And they're going to get people excited. That's all you need.
All right, so let's say you're on the interview committee, Destiny, and one of the questions you asked a potential head coach is, where do you see yourself in 4 years? And that coach responded, not here. I don't want to be here in 4 years, meaning they want to develop that resume and use Southern Miss as a stepping stone. That's a phrase you hear a lot, too, from people. And some people get offended by that phrase, quite honestly. They don't want Southern Miss to be a stepping stone. But if you were on the interview committee and a coach said, I don't see myself being here in 4 years, what would be your reaction to that?
You're hired, because that means that you are confident enough, you know that you're going to come here and be successful, and you're going to bring us a few years of really good football, and then you're going to go, you're going to be so good that you're going to get poached away, and then you just repeat the process. I think we as fans, and not necessarily me, because I am younger and I didn't see all the exciting games against Alabama. I'm just hoping we beat South Alabama. But, you know, we're...
Which is not a given, by the way.
No, it's not. But, you know, I think you hear the phrase that people are looking for the next Bauer. I think that that was a unicorn. I don't think that we will ever find that again. I think people need to be okay with that, because if it offends you that Southern Miss is a stepping stone school, just know that outside of about 10 or 15 blue blood programs, every school is a stepping stone school. I mean, someone could go to Mississippi State and do really well, and LSU is going to steal them, or Florida's going to steal them. These schools with bigger money, it's not an insult to know that your coach can be, you know, poached away. If they bring success and we develop a good formula for hiring someone new to continue that success over and over again, I'll take that any day.
Dima, you agree with Destiny?
Yeah, this is, she's 100% on point. She's 100% correct. Every school in the country, other than maybe 5 or 10, is a stepping stone program, especially on the Group of Five level. And we see this right now in college football. The best example of this is the James Madison head coach, Kurt Cingletti, or whatever his last name is. I'm going to butcher it. You know, he's great 2 years at JMU coming into the FBS. They should have been in a bowl game the last 2 years, but they weren't. He's at Indiana right now. What is he doing at Indiana? 8-0? They might make the playoff? Are you kidding me? Like, Indiana. And you know what's going to happen next year, or maybe the next year? He's not going to be at Indiana anymore. I guarantee you. He's not going to be at Indiana anymore. He's going to be at, you know, Oregon State or Penn State or something, like, I don't know, something, the next tier of college football that's not Indiana. So even a Big Ten school like Indiana, who might even make the playoff this year, that's still a stepping stone program, and we've seen that in the past. Southern Miss is about a stepping stone program as you can be, and it's so much different than baseball and basketball, because people say, no, we kept Coach Barry for 14 years, we kept Jay Ladner for this. It's such a different landscape. You cannot compare basketball and baseball to this football coaching search.
Now, D-Rock, you said that one of the things, if they said that they want to be here.
Correct.
Good thing or bad thing?
Right. I think it's a bad thing, because you're not going to turn this program around in 4 years. It's just not going to happen.
Okay.
Be a reality on that.
Hold that thought. We'll pick up with Derek Gwynn on the other side of the commercial break. Don't forget, the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast can be found on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and YouTube. We'll continue our roundtable discussion. And remember, all of you Eagle fans are perfectly entitled to our opinions. We'll be back in just a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
This third segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by our friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill. They're going to be streaming the Oak Grove High School football game tonight, and of course all the Sun Belt games tomorrow. Everybody knows your name, kind of like in the old TV show, and one of the few places where you can get an ice-cold Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. And to show you how long Pabst Blue Ribbon has been along, I'm a big fan of old classic radio. And one of the commercials from a 1940 1994 radio broadcast, Pabst Blue Ribbon was the sponsor of the broadcast back in 1944. Anyway, we continue our roundtable discussion with what the fan base might be looking for, the qualities in a new head coach. Derek Gwynn from Stadium Sports, 24/7 Sports, is with us. Dima Mixon here to my right, and on the phone, Destiny Blackwell, a graduate of Southern Miss in 2016, passionate about her Eagles. And D-Rock, so where do you go then? Do you, one thing that you've been very clear about in your writing is that you do not want to go the Division II route again.
Do not. I do not want to go Division II route. Right. I just we've already tried it with Hobson. We tried it with Coach Hall. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I think there's an OC out there. It really wants to come to Southern Miss, maybe in a head coach, but there's got to be somebody. It could be another coach that's retired, who's got money, who can come here and doesn't depend on what Southern Miss pays. They just want to coach football. But back to what Destiny and Demon were saying, you also got to have a coach, and Destiny, agree or not agree, that he's going to have to recruit Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama to be successful, not just Mississippi. He's got to recruit around, right? He's got to know the high school kids. He's also got to know his players. That's why I said a coach from like Montana or Idaho is not going to get that done the first year. There's no way that he can learn the players that he's recruiting and who he should be recruiting in a year.
But couldn't he do that with his staff hires?
I don't think so. I think it's a head coaching thing. I think the staff helps, but I think the head coach is still the model of the program, just like Coach Hall. So he was the one that went out into the houses and got some of these kids.
Yeah, I mean, I just disagree on that just like a slight, because I think you see across the country, any new head coach is going to bring just with the state of college football. Maybe that would be a true argument 5 or 10 years ago with the transfer portal now. I mean, if he brought staff from wherever he's coming from in Montana, Idaho, I'm just using that as your example.
Choosing Destiny.
Okay. No, there you go. Wherever the coach is from, I don't think it'll be a big issue. Now, maybe it will be a struggle that first, hypothetically, if he gets hired in November, then that December, that signing period is going to be tough. That was the same with Coach Hall. But I don't think it'll take him years and years to gain recruits here in Mississippi. But I do think the first year, you're right.
I mean, just how many players is he going to lose? Whoever the new head coach is, who's going to stay and who's going to go? And how many of these players on this team do we really want to stay? Not being mean.
No.
I'm just speaking the truth.
No, yeah, so. Well, you're losing basically the whole defense just right off the bat just because they're all graduate seniors. And then really when you look at that defense and offense, you're looking at the two freshmen on defense, Will James and
Chris Jones.
And then you're looking on offense, who can you keep in the quarterback? Is John White going to stay? Is Ethan Crawford going to stay? All of those things are questions that the new head coach is going to have to answer, and quickly, because that transfer portal opens December 8th.
Destiny, correct. What type of coaching tree do you want Jeremy McClain to shake?
What do you mean?
As far as, do you want a Division II head coach? You want an OC? Where does he go?
I'm open to a lot of ideas, but my ideal candidate would be a successful OC like Brennan Marion. I know that people are hearing that name a lot, and some of it is just, you know, people hearing talks about it and kind of hopping on the bandwagon. But when I look at the last, you know, like I mentioned, 12 years of Southern Miss football, the most fun that I had was when we had Coach Munkin. And I know that he didn't stay here long term, and, you know, that may be what some people look for, but I enjoyed going to football games when he was the head coach. I feel like that was a formula that worked. It worked with Fedora as well. And every other route that we've tried, it seems like for the past, since Bauer, I mean, it's just not, it's not fun football.
Now, Destiny, you were singing the praises of you and other young Southern Miss alum were singing the praises of Bob Chesney, who is now at James Madison, who, by the way, I talked to at Media Day, and he thought that with his blue blood and upbringing in the Northeast, he's just not sure that it would have worked at Southern Miss had he been the coach. But is there anybody that you were right on with Chesney as far as his success in this league, but is there anybody else that you're actively wanting to be interviewed, pursued, or, you know, even if they might not be interested, but is there anybody in particular?
So definitely Brennan Marion, and then I would say Bill Clark, and those are two different profiles. So that's why I say, you know, I don't focus too much on one specific type of candidate, because I think there are several different types of candidates that could come here and be successful, and just because one didn't work doesn't mean another wouldn't? I mean, like Bill Clark, obviously, he has had head coaching experience. He's had a lot of success at the Group of Five level, and he's not coaching currently, but from what I've heard, he's expressed interest in getting back into it, and that is someone that took UAB from, I mean, I personally had never had any interest in UAB, and he took them to see a lot of success. Someone like that, I think, could come in and do well here.
D-Rock, you don't think that Bill Clark's going to be a viable option, though?
I think that UAB is probably going to bring him back. I mean, they got their own problems, and I know there are a lot of other schools, East Carolina, Fresno State, Southern Miss, we've all, you know, need head coaches, right? So I just don't think Will's going to be out there. Bill Clark. I hope he is. I'd like to have him. But, you know, you also got to look at this. You got to bring a coach in that's going to put something on the field that the fans want to see. I mean, you got to bring something here
that excites
the fans.
Destiny was saying
In the last 12 years, the product on the field's been terrible, terrible. And I'm not putting down on the kids. It's what the system was at that time.
Does Jeremy McClain have to go to a million plus to get who he's looking for, Dima?
I think so. I mean, I think that's just the world we live in. And I don't know if anybody's going to take this job for under a million.
Destiny, would you take it for a million?
I mean, yeah, because even if I fail, I've made some money and I can just kind of hang around in Cabo.
Yeah.
Oh, Cabo is your place.
You can go see Coach O. Coach O's runs down there somewhere.
What about somebody like him, Destiny, and Ed Orgeron, whose name has come up?
Oh, Lord.
Well, Rich Rod, too. I mean, Rodriguez. I mean, I think that'd be a good one to bring in.
At Jacksonville State. What do you think, Destiny?
I mean, I think some of these are pipe dreams. I try to be at least realistic with who we want. I think sometimes we have fans that fall on different sides of the spectrum. You have the side that thinks we're too poor to compete and we can't, no matter who we hire, we're never going to have success here ever again. And then you've got the other side that thinks that we can get Dan Mullen to come over here and be our head coach. But I think in the middle, very realistic, there are a lot of great candidates that, for one, would want to come here. I do think Jeremy's right in saying that this is a job that people should want to take, and they could come here and do well and be well within our budget. We're not as poor as everyone thinks.
One name that keeps popping up, too, that is intriguing to me is Brian Harsin, the former Boise State coach that went to Auburn. Was kind of unceremoniously cut loose. He's available. You know, you have to wonder about his interest in getting back into coaching and the fact that it didn't work at Auburn, which is a deep Southern, though private school. I think people don't really understand that Auburn was a private institution. Would Harsin be in the mix, D-Rock, you think, on the surface?
On the surface, maybe, yes. I don't know. I don't know much about his background and stuff like that. I do remember him when he was at Boise State. Don't know the story at Auburn.
But there's an example of taking somebody, like we said, hypothetically, from the Pacific Northwest and trying to move them to the Southeast. And I think, do you think maybe you guys, that's what Jeremy was kind of talking about, not necessarily with Southern Miss ties, but the importance of knowing the Southern culture to a degree that helps you go into these homes.
Exactly, and that's what I was talking about earlier. You got to understand these kids. Kids in Mississippi and Louisiana, Alabama, Panhandle, Florida are different from kids in Arizona and California and Nevada. I mean, they just are. It's just the way we grow up right now. I mean, look at the election coming up. It's going to be different on how the states vote, you know?
Right.
So, but not saying that within a year, I'm not saying that a coach, wherever he comes from, Montana, can't get to know that. I just think that the first couple years is going to be really, really, really tough.
Destiny, as we begin to wrap up this conversation, describe the importance of this hire now for Jeremy McClain to get it right, particularly with some of you younger alum.
I feel like we find ourselves saying this with every hire, that it's critical, but I mean, it's true of this one too, because again, speaking from someone that graduated in 2016 that started college in 2012, fans my age that care are few and far between, and they are real ones because they have not had a lot to celebrate in the sense of football. And if we want to get more younger fans bought in with their money, with their attendance, you have got to give them something to cheer for. I mean, I see people that I went to school with that are spending their game days at other schools, and I don't know whether I'm frustrated with them for doing that or jealous that they don't go through the full scale of emotions that I do every Saturday. But
if you want to get young people bought in, and you do, you have got to give them something to be excited about.
Sounds good. Destiny Blackwell, who's been joining us on the phone from Goche, Derek Gwynn, writer for Stadium Sports 24/7, and of course, Dima Mixon. Those are our 2 cents worth. And I know, like I said, Jeremy McClain probably listening with bated breath. When we come back, Dima and I will break down the biggest college games of the weekend, and we'll see where we are in our picks standings between he and Bob Getty and I. The Eagle Hour Friday edition rolls on in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Mobay Beignet Company is the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, located at 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Again, kind of right across from the campus. You can look them up on their Facebook page to find out what their dipping flavors are for the month. They do change as we head into the later months of the year, and they never make those beignets until you order them, so they can't get any fresher than that. This fourth segment brought to you by DBAT Training. It's right off of Interstate 59. It's the complete baseball and softball training facility for your youngster. Or if you want to get into shape a little bit, tell them what your goals are, whether it's weight loss, whether it's toning, whatever, speed and agility. They've got it all for you at DBAT. And on their website, too, they can tell you about some of the holiday camps that'll be coming up that'll keep the youngsters busy and ready for the upcoming baseball and softball season. College football games tomorrow, including big Sun Belt games. But before we do that, Michael Mergens, I wanted to relay to you my sincere sorrow at the Bears, the way that that game with the, well, I was going to say the Redskins, but the Commanders finished. I thought the Bears had pulled it off. No, I'm being serious.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
That had to be tough. That had to be brutal to watch that.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Well, you saved yourself heartache. All right, yep. Dima, let's get on with the college games this
week. All right. For the updated standings, Kelly, you're still in first place with 76 points. Bob is in second place with 74 points. I'm a little bit further down at 70 points in third place, but it's a good week this week to get back on track. All right, so tonight, Georgia State takes the road at Connecticut. Very odd non-conference game, but Connecticut's a 7.5-point favorite. I have Bob's picks right here, so I'll say his first, then I'll go to you, Kelly. UConn 28, Georgia State 21 is what Bob picked. What do you have?
I've got UConn 24, Georgia State 21. Take the Panthers and the points.
Yeah, I got UConn 27-21, so that's the Panthers with the points, UConn with the outright, and I think that's under the 48.5, because I'm at 48, so I'm under a half point. All right, so here we go. So ODU taking the road at App State. App State is a 2.5-point underdog at home to Old Dominion. Bob picked the upset. He picked App State to beat Old Dominion 35-28.
Yeah, I don't. I'm taking Old Dominion 28-21. Take ODU, give the points.
Yeah, I got ODU 24-20 over App State, so take the points there, and I just don't think App State, surprisingly, is that good right now.
Yeah, but they've had so many things happening off the field, including the hurricane. Anyway.
Also tomorrow, ULM taking the road at Marshall. ULM got humbled back down to earth in Mobile last week, but they're an 11-point underdog to the Thundering Herd. The over-under is 47.5.
And Marshall's playing really well, which is not good news for Southern Miss. They still have to play the Herd. Marshall 34, ULM 21.
All right, and Mr. Bob has
Marshall 38, ULM 28. I'm going to take ULM with the points. I'm going to say 21-17 Marshall. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, but Marshall does win the game. And but I'm taking ULM with the
11. So that's a consensus.
That's an 11, yeah.
Okay.
Coastal Carolina at Troy. Troy's only a four-point home underdog. Their over-under is 52. They almost beat Arkansas State this week. Do they get it done against Coastal?
Yes.
Wow.
Take the Trojans and the money line. They should have beaten Arkansas State last week, and you agree with me on that.
I do.
Arkansas State lucked out at home. 31-28, Troy over Coastal.
Bob has Coastal 24-14. Yeah, I'm taking Coastal as well. I got Coastal 28-17 over Troy. All right, so Georgia Southern on the road at South Alabama. Man, South Alabama's starting to look good, and they're six-point home favorites.
And Georgia Southern does not look good. 38-14 Jags.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I think they do the same thing to them that they did to ULM. I got 40-14, and Bob has 42-34 South Alabama. All right, and then the national game of the week is number 4, Ohio State, at number 3, Penn State. The Penn State Nittany Lions are 3.5-point home underdogs. The over-under is 47. Bob has Ohio State winning 28-24.
I know you're a big Ohio State fan, and you don't think much of Penn State. I think more highly of Penn State than you do. It's going to be close, but I'm taking Penn State 28, Ohio State 27.
Yeah, if Ohio State plays like they did last week against Nebraska, they will not go into State College and win that game. I've been to State College before. It is loud there. It is not the whiteout game. It is an 11 a.m. kick. I think Ohio State gets it done 28-24 over the Nittany Lions.
Would you have ever thought at this point in the season, Dima, on either ledger, the east or the west of the Sun Belt, that it would be this convoluted and this wide open still heading into the home stretch?
Well, no, because when we got to Sun Belt Media Day, every media member in America was foaming at the mouth at the aspects of App State and Texas State. Both of those teams are now fighting to even make a chance at the, especially App State, even have a chance to get to the Sun Belt Championship game. And, you know, so both of those teams are still in the hunt, I guess. But no, I wouldn't expect that. And nobody expected ULM to be as good as they were. Nobody expected Southern Miss to be as bad as they were. Nobody expected Troy to be. They were picked second, Troy.
Right.
And then obviously Old Dominion and Georgia Southern on the other end, and all those teams.
But that's what makes it fun, and that's where the transfer portal comes in. The have-nots can battle with the haves when it comes right down to it. And we're hoping that soon Southern Miss will be the haves. But we hope you have a great weekend. We hope it's the best one ever. Hope your Halloween was good and safe. And we'll report back to you again on Monday when Bob Getty will return. For Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sanner. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. Until Monday at 1, Southern Miss
to the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.